Tonight's going to be a good one. We're talking with Lorenzo Bernardes Jr. Let's get it. Better known as Zo.
Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host, Jason Melendez.
Live now every week on Fridays.
Talking Junk.
A multitude of professionals in different aspects, different walks of life.
You have to come on and talk junk like a normal person.
I know I can't hear. No, I can't. There you go.
Can you hear me now? All right. So nobody was listening to me because nobody could hear me. Technical difficulties as always, but like I said, this is Zo right here, my man Zo. He owns a nonprofit called Slice of Excellence. He also got a podcast called Conversations with Zo. And did I forget to mention that he's also a youth baseball coach?
Yeah.
It's a lot of things that this young man juggles right here.
Yeah, man. Also the love of the youth, man. I mean, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for to be here, for you to share your platform with me, Talking Junk. And just, you know, I'm really honored, man. I'm really happy to be here. And it's for the love of the youth.
We're happy to have you.
You know, so everything I do come from a place of love. I'm from the South Bronx. You know, I'm a 90s baby, you know, so the late 90s, early 2000s was a wild time in South Bronx. So my mission and my purpose is just to shed a different light, you know, and show something different.
Right. Right. Now, tell us how you started Slice of Excellence.
Man, Slice of Excellence, that's my baby, man. Slice of Excellence for all everybody out there is persistence. You know, it's just always trying to just find a way. Or just find a way to give back and find a way to motivate the youth. So I was teaching at a school in the South Bronx, not far from where I grew up, right? Now, I thought this was the perfect situation. I thought I was going to be the teacher for the rest of my life at this point.
Now, where in the South Bronx did you grow up?
158th and Brook. So I'm right by South Bronx High School, right by 3rd Avenue. If you talk about train stops, it would be the two of the five on 149th and 3rd Avenue.
All right.
So I'm by like the 15 bus, 21 bus. Used to be a 55 bus at that time. But I'm right by 3rd Avenue, so I'm not far from Jackson or Maria Lopez from Cortland, you know, all
those. You was a couple of train stops away from me. I was right there in Gunhill.
Oh, yeah. So you know what I'm saying? You was right up there, not far away, probably about 20 minutes. You know, so I was teaching and you know, just to put it out there, teaching for me is trash. Just for the simple fact that you don't, so what I only became a teacher to get some say. You know, I wanted a seat at the table. I want to be able to really advocate for these children and really put something out there for them. And teaching, you're not going to get that unless you give them 5, 10 plus years of your life, right? So I was trying to fast track that. So I was trying to become a dean. That wasn't working because I didn't have the credentials, but I was able to get myself to be a teacher. It was, you know, 2020, you know what I'm saying? And we're still in the heart of a pandemic. We're all remote. No kids are in school. And here I am, right? Every day I'm finding ways to try to engage with the kids, right? So I found myself having lunch with them, even though I didn't really have much free time at the time. A couple times a week, I'd have lunch with them. Now, remember, Zoom is very intimate, right? You and people crib, you and like you home, you know. So we not all of us, but some of us have been through the struggle where ramen is all we got. whether you went to college.
Most of us have been through a struggle. You know what I mean? This is the United States. It's not as good as they think. Everybody thinks it is. You know what I mean? We fucked up everywhere.
So even if you didn't grow up in a struggle, you've been to college, I'm saying you've been to a sleepaway camp or whatever it is, and you found that ramen was all you had. So I see these kids, right? And you know the colors. You recognize those bags, pink, blue, red, blue, always like, you know, yep. It's like the Power Rangers of ramen, you know what I'm saying? and I'm like, yo, I got to do something. So I was like, I'm going to send them food. And I was like, I just thought to myself, you definitely can't do that because that's going to look like charity and that's not good. Right. So funny thing, I'm in the office the very next day and like, Bernardus, your numbers suck. I mean, attendance, grades, all around, like everything is horrible. And I thought to myself, like, what am I going to do? Like, I've never taught before. I'm strictly leading by passion, but obviously that's not enough when you're trying to educate somebody. So I'm like, listen, highest test score next week gets pizza. And sure enough, you just saw from the minute I said that, bro, the energy in that classroom was different. Like, right. It's almost like everybody had something to work towards. And
now, you knew that feeling from in school. You knew that teacher's like, if y'all do good on this test, we'll have a pizza party. You know what I mean? And you wanted that. You wanted the teacher to buy you some pizza.
Absolutely. So now remember, you know, teachers are underpaid. Now I was in a situation where I was at a charter school. So I was able to make a lot more money out the gate than the average teacher. Like almost like I made almost $18,000 more than a starting public school teacher because I was in charter school. Right. But there's pros and cons because, you know, the amount of work that goes into being a charter school. Right. So fast forward. You know, boom, this kid named Abel
got the pizza. Then have to teach every school in the charter school?
No. So I was strictly a second grade teacher and I had my own class but it was a network of 30 schools. So it was massive. So it was 30 success academies. That's the name of the school, right? That's the name of the network. And I was at Bronx 2, which is one of their Bronx locations. So they not only compete against charter schools or public schools, but they also compete against each other because remember it's 30 schools. So it's who's the best amongst the 30 schools. So it's highly competitive, but highly racist and highly oppressive.
As right? always.
A lot of the things that I learned during that time. So let me wrap up the story before I go into this, because this is another segment. But I started sending the pictures out. I put the picture in the chat. He's like, Mr. B, he wrote me on Zoom in the chat. And he's like, yo, Mr. B, you could post my picture in the chat. You know, he's hyped because he knew that he was the first. But I posted it. And once I posted it, that was that little bit of social proof that these kids needed. Like, oh, this is real. Like, he's really about it. Like, he walks the talk. He talks the walk and walks the talk. Like, that's Mr. B is legit. And literally every week I'm saying one kid, two kids, right? This is just my classroom. Then I opened it up to the school. And that's when it really started taking on. And shout out to, you know, the new hires that I came with. If I don't mention everybody, you know, Tyler, Bianca, Ariana, Trav. I'm going to just stop there to not forget nobody. But, you know, they helped me come up with the name Slice of Excellence and come up with the concept of it. Because at that point, I'm on social media with it. And it's going crazy. Like, no one's doing it.
It's a great name.
And it's a great name, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a slice of pizza, but it's also a slice of excellence. Something that these kids are already hearing those words or embodying those words or living those words. And here we are, you know, giving you something, you know, talking to you differently. Like, you're capable of many things, you know? So we end up, you know, people end up sending me money now. Now people are just zelling me like, yo, bro, how could I sponsor a kid? Yo, bro, how could I, you know? And next thing you know, I end up with a bunch of money in my account. So my bro was like, yo, you start a 501c3. And at first I was hesitant, but he's like, you have nothing to lose and put on to gain. So I went through the process. I'm a 501c3. I'm incorporated, all of those things. And that was the birth of Slice of Excellence.
That is an amazing journey. amazing journey. And 2 years later, nonprofit's thriving.
2 years later, the nonprofit is thriving. We're blessed, booked, and busy.
How many schools you got now?
I mean, as far as official partnerships, I have one school, but I send to a lot of schools because I know a lot of teachers. So I even sent to schools in Virginia, a high school in Virginia. I've sent in Georgia, you know, people that I know. So like that would be like you could say two schools. Then we have the New Design Middle School that's in Harlem. Then we have AECI2, that's a high school in the Bronx. And then we have all the other middle schools that I'm connected with, right? Through teachers that I know, through principals that I know, and through schools that, through teachers and kids that are just being referred and recommended. So really, I'm just an open book. And that's why I'm sort of, like, it's going to be I'm an orthodox kind of person. So that's why my nonprofit is going to be a little unorthodox as well, because sometimes when you get these grants, you sort of kind of are tied to how you got to spend the money, you know? So I think for me, I want to be an open book. Like, so I'm giving out college scholarships. I'm getting kids sneakers. We're doing pizza drives. Like, we're doing everything we can to uplift the community through the pizza. And I'll tell you about our financial literacy side of it later on in the conversation.
All right. All right. Now, how long have you been a baseball coach? Because I'm guessing that's what started you with youth.
Man, I've been coaching over 12 years, bro.
Yes.
You know, so it's like this has been such a journey. It's crazy. I'm going to talk at a school to one of my old guidance counselors. She works at the high school that I said those eight high schoolers you saw today are the kids I'm going to meet next week. Right, so I'm going to talk to 100 high school kids, ranging from freshmen to seniors. And, you know, we're just going to break down and have a great conversation. So I started coaching. So through her, so when I went to Catholic school, my first high school, O'Hallows, we had to do community service. Right. So I just went back to my elementary school because they had an after school program and I did homework for kids. Right. And I just noticed the connection. Like, it was really cool to see a kid in high school. You know, you're a kid that's like fourth or fifth grade. You know, I'm not that much older than you, but I'm older than you. And we just have a conversation, like we're home for homework. And I maybe just be relatable with them. So that was my introduction to like, just, you know, being around the youth and helping in after school program with homework. And then fast forward, you know, I started working at a summer camp my senior year of high school that summer, and that's where my introduction to coaching was, right? Because I used to run little baseball clinics for my coach, for the kids in the community. And then from there, I ended up working at a summer camp. Now, I don't recommend sleepaway camps if you're not built for that. The sleepaway camps are crazy. I was a one and done deal, and I did it again because that was the wildest. They were between the ages of 10 and 12. My cabin was in the age of 10 and 12.
Think so you also had to watch out for other stuff.
Yeah, a lot of other stuff. It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? You had kids from Brownsville, New York. You had kids from Harlem, the east side, the west side. You had kids from the South Bronx. So you had kids from hoods from all over the city. So every kid moves a little differently. Not every kid is a hood booger, but most of them were. You know what I'm saying? But most of them were there trying to do something with themselves, but they just hadn't been spoken to in a way where they thought that that was possible. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. My cabin, one of those kids goes to Lehigh. My boy Jalen, he's a Division I basketball player.
So you're still connected with most of these kids now?
Any kid I ever worked with that I was able to keep in contact with or we find each other, and that's 2011, 2012. You know, Zion just graduated from Howard, you know, HBCU. Wow. You know, my man Brandon is doing well. There's a couple. Brandon Leftwich is probably one of my biggest success stories that I work with. He's the homie. He's an amazing kid. He went to Mount St. Mary, right, as a walk-on, got a scholarship. He caught a big dunk in the game versus Duke, and he wowed out. And they were losing, too, but it was – it was just a crazy moment because he dunked on somebody on national television.
And I know there was nobody louder than you.
There's nobody louder than me. So, you know what I'm saying? But he's an amazing kid with an amazing mother. I still think he should have played baseball, but basketball's done very well for him. You know what I'm saying? So we'll take that. But he went to Mount St. Mary, and then from there, now he got his master's at George Washington University, where he played another year, and now he's a grad assistant. So he's one of the coaches on the team. So an amazing story. You know, I follow them. Like, as much as they look up to me, I look up to them, and I'm following them. And these are all young Black kings from the inner city making something for themselves.
And it can't be not, you can't be more prouder, you know what I mean, to have had a hand in their journey and to see them do so fucking well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You got to take pride in that. Now, I know after that, you had to have said, why don't I just try to help my brothers and sisters too? So you started a podcast to try to get to people in our demographic.
Yeah, 20
to 30 year olds.
Yeah, it's crazy because I was looking at the numbers. So now you've got to pay attention to the numbers and everything. The majority of the people that listen, so Conversation with Joe podcast is on YouTube, 86 episodes covering everything from childhood trauma, generational trauma, daily affirmations, choosing to be happy, actively breaking generational curses, suffering in silence, therapy is gangsta. We got interviews on financial literacy. So it covers everything. Like, we're really not cornered into one category.
But right. You didn't go with that whole niche shit that they told you to find.
Yeah,
right?
No.
Because we did the same thing, which is why we're called Talking Junk. We've done junk. Everything. Nonprofits. We've done hypnotists. We've done sex store owners. You know what I mean? We've done a lot of different things. So we're not typecast into one category. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And diversity. Because one episode might be for somebody, but the other might not.
Yeah, that's a fact. And I strongly think, not being biased, but I think a little, like, if you're really conscious, I think a little bit of every episode could be for somebody. Just because a lot of my work is surrounded by just a positive outlook. You know, and trying to heal, you know. So what a lot of people don't realize, and this is why I love working with the youth, and because I'm tapped in, and not only because it's, some of them share my story, some of them have a different journey because they're on their own path. But a lot of children, right, and this is not about race or anything or creed, this is just children. A lot of children are being broken at home.
Right.
It's not even the streets taking them. They went into the streets already broken. You know what I'm saying? So before you decided to turn blood, crip, or whatever it was, you were already a broken person.
Right.
You know? So a lot of people,
generational curses.
Generational curses. A lot of those parents aren't in tune or paying attention because they're in survival mode and they don't really know any better. So they didn't seek to do anything different. You know, they're just trying to feed you, bathe you, house you, and, you know what I'm saying? And that's about it. You know what I'm saying? And send you on your way. So that's why our generation and the ones coming after us, we're going to be more in tune with financial support, but also emotional support, right? So that goes right back to Conversation with Joe. It's about being tapped into our emotions, being vulnerable, healing, going to therapy, and just a positive outlook on things that should be spoken about. Even me, I'm an Afro-Latino man. That's a journey in itself. Me learning to love my Blackness was something I had to learn to do when I had to develop self-love. My parents were from Honduras. Spanish is my first language, you know? But it's something that I had to learn to wear proudly because society told me that being dark Latino wasn't cool. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the end thing. Now it's being marketed, and everybody loves a Black Afro-Latino person. You know what I'm saying? But in the hood, especially in the you know, Dominican culture or Mexican culture or any culture, even if you watch novelas and you look at TV, you go to it's a global thing where Black people are not being marketed. You know what I'm saying? Even though these people are native to your country, like, you guys live in the same country. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's kind of bizarre that you're so estranged, even though you stand for the same flag.
Yeah, and it's in every Latin country.
Every single Latin country.
heavy in Puerto Rico too.
Heavy in Puerto Rico, you know, and Puerto Ricos are, you know, Taínos. They have a deep African root. I'm saying because slaves were dropped off there, you know. So Puerto Ricans, as beautiful the culture as it is, it comes in so many shades, you know. But not every shade is embraced. So that's a journey in itself. Just being able to get in tune and just love yourself for who you are and come as you are.
Most definitely. Now, 86 episodes. How long did it take you to do that?
It took me, well, this is crazy. I started, so I went through my catalog recently, and I started in April of 2018.
Okay.
How was I able to start a podcast? I didn't even know what a podcast really was. I just know that I wanted to say something positive, and I wanted to say something positive every week. I had something to say. I had something in my spirit. I was in Austria playing baseball, right? Wow. So
minor league? Coach,
I was playing in the semi-pro league out there. Okay. So part of Coach Zoe was also the baseball player as well. So I played 2018 and 2019, right before the pandemic. So I was living in Austria. I was in Vienna. If you guys ever get to go to that side of Europe, Austria, Czech Republic, Budapest, Croatia, Slovakia, Hungary, beautiful countries, beautiful, beautiful countries.
Yeah.
And for those who have ever been to New York or the tri-state area, it's almost just like the tri-state area as far as how close it is, right?
Okay. Because
think of Vienna, like, you know Grand Central, right?
Yeah.
Think of Vienna as Grand Central, right? And they have a Grand Central station. It's called, I don't know how to pronounce it, but they have a Grand Central, right? And from that station, you can go to all those countries. So I can take a train 2 hours to Budapest. I can take a train 3 hours to Prague. I can take a train 1 hour to Slovakia. You know,
that's
I can
take
a, you know what I'm saying? So it's really cool how from one hub, you can go to 3 to 4 different countries.
Croatia, yeah, which is why I'm trying to get my wife to move up to Virginia. So we'll have all those states right next to us and I can network.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Virginia is going to be awesome for you, bro, because you're going to be in the DMV, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the hub, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, between being in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, like, I actually lived in D.C. for a summer interning, you know what I'm saying, in 2016. So I've been on a run, you know what I'm saying, as far as 2016, I was living in D.C. as an intern. That's the same year I failed out of grad school, right? So I failed out of grad school. I still had an internship that I was able to take in D.C. I left my job. I went out there. I lived with my cousin for a week. The same grad school program that I failed out of, they ended up giving me housing because they already paid for it. But I had to do like a summer internship with them. And next summer, I'm living in the Hamptons coaching baseball. And right. they gave the coaches a house in the Hamptons. Best summer ever. I won Coach of the Year that year.
Ramping 2018. In the Hamptons, the weekends, man.
I had Henny in Hamptons. I had a little vlog series going, Henny in Hamptons. Had a great time. Phenomenal time in Montauk and Sac Harbor. And all of those people dream of going. Like, you know, Hamptons is a different place. A lot of old money, new money. You know what I'm saying? Flat cars. You know, it's
all
just,
before 30.
All before 30. You know what I'm saying? Then 2018, when I got signed to Austria, you know.
Okay.
Now, let me not skip a part, though. 2017, I won Coach of the Year. But 2017, I got 3 contracts to go play, and I got 3 contracts recently. So it could have broke me, but it didn't, because I asked myself, what did I do? Did I really give it my all to get signed this year? And that's when I came up with this new extreme approach for 2018, where I convinced myself that even if I die training, I know I died giving it my all, right? And that was the extreme measure that I went to that got me signed. Now, I knew that I didn't have any college. I didn't have 0 college hits. 0. And I had
what position you played?
I played first base in college. I had 0 hits, and I played 4 games in 4 years.
Damn. Talk about
2 knee surgeries. Not even the bench, bro. God put me on the bench.
DL list.
Right. 2 knee surgery and 2 racist coaches. Damn. Right? So the cards were stacked against me. But this is the beautiful thing about the journeys, because I was able to transition. And the beautiful, and this is why I'm a popular coach, but a very unpopular coach at the same time, because I really, really push academics. I really, really push education. I really, really push self-development. Because for the first time in my life, since I got in good at baseball, from 13 to 20, all I was a baseball player. Okay. All I identified as.
Yeah, that's your main niche.
That's my main niche, you know what I'm saying? And then I really got to, you know what? I got to focus on my academics more. All right, baseball's not going my way. What else am I going to do with my time? And that's why I'm proud of myself, because I don't know what made me do it, but I was like, you know what, bro? Take school more serious. Like, focus on getting your degree. I finished in 4 years flat, over a 3.0 GPA. I was a dean's list twice. I had 2 internships in college and had work experience, because that's what I did. If I wasn't traveling with the team, I got an off-campus, I got an on-campus non-work study job, right? So for those out there that have financial aid, I'm giving a lot of game today. For those that have financial aid, right, but you don't qualify for a work study job, go to the school job fair and they have non-work study jobs. And you can give your resume and you can shop around, because all those programs have budgets. And they have budgets instilled those budgets are opportunities for non-work study workers. Right. So shoot your shot and go to all of them. And I just ended up working in a computer center, but it was a good time. I made some good money and it was a job.
Definitely. And always shoot your shot. Always.
You miss 100% of shots you don't take.
You know? Most definitely.
Most definitely, you know. So we could break down Austria real fast. I got out there. The contract wasn't the greatest, but it was an opportunity. So for all of those out there thinking that every opportunity comes with a dollar or a bag, it may or may not. But this is where coaching helped. I made more money coaching than I did playing. Now I'll break that down. My base contract was only 450 euros. That's base, right? A month, right? But living expenses are taken care of. So they gave me an apartment and I took care of all my travel arrangements, all my overages, everything.
Okay.
Now, coaching, because I coached their entire program. So I coached the 10-year-old team, the 12-year-old team, and the 14-year-old team. And I was a player coach on the team that I played on, right? So I literally had my hand in this whole entire organization, right? So I ended up getting 10 euros an hour for all these practices, right? So
okay.
I ended up being in position to be able to make more money now, because now I'm coaching. So I'm coaching practices, right? Mind you, that's every day. So that's 2 practices, 2 teams. So that's 40 euros a day, right? So either way, a week, that adds up, right?
Now break it down real quick for those of us listening that may not know how much the currency rate is.
So the euro at the time, the euro is still worth a little more than a dollar, but at the time, you know, so 450 euros probably like $480, $490, right? Depending on how inflation and how things fluctuate, right? But I ended up netting like about 1,200 euros a month. So that would leave me about $1,300, almost $1,400.
So right? It's 88 cents over.
About 88 cents over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. About there, yeah. So I ended up doing pretty good for myself. I got really comfortable because now I'm coaching. They had a softball team that I ended up training them as well. And then I ended up being a game coach too. So I ended up making more money because now I'm not just practicing with them. I actually have a team that I coach during games. And I brought a whole different style. You know, I was aggressive. I taught them everything that was in me, I taught them. And on the playing side, right, I dominated. I hit 457 my first year. You know, I did my thing. That came to an end because I only had a tourist visa. So for those going out there to Europe, more game, you have a 90-day tourist visa. So you can stay in Europe for 90 days with no visa. You automatically get a tourist visa when you go. But if you're going to overstay your stay, especially if you're black, you better have a visa. Because it's what happened to me can happen to you. I was going to a festival in Croatia, uh-huh. And I got stopped at the border. So we were at a bus. You got to give in your passport before you cross because Croatia is not a part of the EU. So there is a border stop there. And obviously, being the only black person on the bus, I got stopped. And they made it a point to make an example out of me. And of course, I didn't know, but my team didn't know. But I was about 7 days over my tourist visa. Now, normally, that's not a big deal. But when you black and you 6'4", 270 pounds, they're like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, so at that point, intimidating. So I was interrogated. I was in a white, all white room with a metal desk and metal chairs, cold as shit in there. And
damn,
you know, it was like, you know, like a Denzel movie, like, you know, interrogation, you know.
It sounded like some foreign shit.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy in there, but, you know, I ended up paying a fine of 250 euros. And they pretty much deported me. Like, it was like, yo, you can't go back into the country. So at that point, it was just like, all right, I'm going to the festival, had a good time, and I'm going to worry about this at the end. So I only played half the season my first year. The second year I came back, they doubled my contract because at that point, they already knew what's up. So I went out there. All I needed was an opportunity, like I told you guys. I got my opportunity. I murdered it. Now they doubled up my salary. So it's about 750 euros base salary now. And I'm still getting my coaching incentive at the top. So now I'll go from 1,200 euros to almost like 1,600 euros, right? And I'm doing private lessons out there. Because remember, I'm the professional player out there. I'm the import from America. So I got a great relationship with the parents. They love me. 30 euros an hour. And I'm doing private lessons now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kicking it out. So I'm making 90 euros a day on the side. You know what I'm saying? And that's like, what's that? Like 450 euros extra cash right there. So I was living off that and stacking the other money.
And they still paying for your stay.
And they still paying for my stay. And I had a flyest apartment in Vienna. You know, second year, I went with a different motive. You know, the first year, I think it was really God that took me out of there. Because I got a little girl crazy out there. Europeans love black people. I ain't gonna lie, I was wild, bro. Like, it's crazy. I hit 5 home runs in 6 games, right? That's Lorenzo with no girls, though. And then, you know, once I got in the loop, I got in the loop, you know? I'm still getting hit, but I'm not hitting home runs. You know, I'm still
you don't got that power anymore.
I got the power in the legs, you know what I'm saying? Legs are weak, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I end up hitting
4-7. You know you're not supposed to do anything before game day.
I know. That's why I had to turn my phone off before games. I had to really dial in and focus. But I was doing my, you know what I'm saying? So I thank God. He was like, yo, bro, like, you really went against the mission. Like, this is not what I sent you here for. But next year, you know, I got back home that summer, 2018. I reunited with my girl, who's the mother of my son, who's my high school sweetheart. And, you know, we fell in love again. And so the second year had a different mission because I already had a girlfriend. And it was a long-distance relationship, but I just went out there with a different focus because I wasn't worried about girls. You know what I'm saying? I was just worried about baseball and winning.
Right.
And fast forward, we did win. And we won a championship out there. We won the Austrian League baseball championship. You know, we was the underdogs getting into the playoffs. We made it in there. I hit 409 that year. With 15 home runs. I had 11 home runs in the regular season, had 4 home runs in the playoffs. I hit 370 in the playoffs with the highest on base percentage. I was locked in. So that playoff.
that's with no girls.
This was no girls. And I was locked in because that was the birth of Zoe Mamba. May Kobe Bryant rest in peace. I would watch Zoe his videos Mamba. I would watch his videos every morning. And I learned how to meditate and I learned how to be in the moment. So every moment that happened in the playoffs, when I was meditating, I had to really put myself in a situation. So it was the most relaxed playoffs I ever played in my life. And I played in the playoffs a lot. I won a championship in high school. So, but talking about heart racing and all that stuff, it didn't happen. I was calm as a whistle.
Just a regular game.
It's just a regular game. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. I wish you could pull up my coaching Instagram, but if we could watch, we can literally see a game 5 first inning home run. And, you know, I was so locked in that I knew the pitch that was coming. And I hit it out of dead center. You know, and it was just such a memory, bro. Vienna skies and a phenomenal time.
So when you came back and you started all of this on your journey and ended up here with your podcast, an incredible Austrian baseball record, and Slice of Excellence.
Yeah.
What's the next step?
The next step is just to keep growing, you know, just to keep having impact. Now I'm at the point where I want to start to monetize off my podcast. You know, I'm pretty close to 1,000 subscribers. I'm not that far. Like, if you really break it down, I'm about like 360-something away. You know, it's like 350-something days left in this year. So it's almost like one a day, two a day kind of thing, if I break it down like that. But I think the pretty big guests that I have coming on are going to kind of speed up that process.
Definitely. Big guests always tend to do that.
Yeah, so Overtime Larry was a blessing. You know, just that's my guy. He really blessed me with the opportunity to interview him on a platform and, you know, just investing in him more. So to me, it's just continue to grow as a man, continue to grow as a father and as a person, and just be a beacon of hope in my community and just lead, bro. Like, lead by example. And I've been doing this. Like, for anybody who knows me, this is nothing new. I've been doing this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not really focused. I feel like I'm winning even more now because I'm not focused on all the negativity. You know what I'm saying? I'm not focused on who's not supporting me or who's not supporting me the way I want them to. Like, for those out there who's going to watch this, support me how you want to support me. Like, if you do, you do. You don't, you don't. Support me in your own way. You know what I'm saying? Support is free. So I don't want to put energy into things that are negative. If you have a misunderstanding of why I do what I do, then just ask me. No need to say negative things about it, especially when you're not helping your community or doing anything. You don't give back. You don't donate. You don't volunteer. Do nothing. You know what I'm saying? So don't break down the guy that's doing it. And don't be the naysayer that's not doing shit.
Exactly. Keep your fucking mouth shut. Now, do you plan on trying to branch Slice of Excellence out to maybe other states?
I mean, we're in other states. Yeah, we in other states already. I'm in Jersey, I'm in Connecticut, I'm in Virginia, and I'm in Georgia. So from there, you know, right now we're about to be in Buffalo. I got some schools out there that I make contact with. And really, like, it's just going to be one of those things where we're able to just branch off and just help every kid. But for right now, I really got to focus on the South Bronx and New York City. Like, New York City youth are really, I mean, New York is such a big city. So we have so many youth. We have so many.
It's so small, but so big.
So big, yeah. So we have so many youth that they have a guide, but they don't have guidance. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're kind of telling you what to do, but not walking you through it.
Right.
And exactly. I'm a person that I want to get to that. Like, they say, oh, I can help you to the water, but I can't help you drink. That's not true. I can help you drink, and I will help you drink. You know what I'm saying? So especially if I know you don't know how, then I'm going to show you how. You know what I'm saying? People take a proverb and they turn it into something that it kind of takes us away from actually helping each other. You know, so
I think it's, you can't make them drink, but I guess exactly what you're saying. You gotta give them a little incentive sometimes. Sometimes they need that little push. And the pizza is going to do it for the youth, most likely.
You know, 100%. And honestly, this is great because we're talking so much about Slice of Excellence. But, like, a lot of people forget that not every family got it the same. You know, a lot of us coming from different financial backgrounds, right? So even something as small as this, right? And this is something that not a lot of people talk about. We're going to talk about it on here. Is that, think about the household median, right? So we're in a pandemic, right? And a kid is going to school remotely, right? 9 times out of 10, maybe there's a grandma in the picture where both parents can go work.
Right.
Or grandma's too old to take care of that kid.
So one parent got to stay home.
So one parent got to stay home. So what happened to the household median? What happened to the household income? Went down.
It's cut in half.
It's cut by God knows how much, right? So not everybody's paying to who the have and the have nots, you know. And so it's bigger than just the pizza because, like I said off camera before, a lot of us are just surviving. We're not living, right? So when we get into the space of actually living, that's different, my brother. You know what I'm saying? You breathe different. You move different. You smile different. know what I'm saying? Food tastes better.
You hold yourself better.
You know, you hold yourself better. You think you hold more value in your own life. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
Parents are on survival mode. They're barely even giving you a good job, right? Job well done. So where's the acknowledgement coming from, right? Let's take this from an adult perspective. You've been busting your ass working at Verizon. You didn't get the raise you wanted or the promotion you wanted, so you're tight. Because you feel like your hard work was not acknowledged.
You feel underappreciated.
Right? You feel underappreciated, right? That's as adults. That's from 20 to 50 to 60, however old you are, as adults, it's natural to feel that way.
And those feelings for children are more than likely heightened by 50%.
By 50%, right? So that's the basis of it. So they feel more. They're not going to express themselves as deeply, you know, and divinely and articulate as they want to. But here we are giving them an opportunity and giving them a chance. You know?
And that's what anybody could ever ask for. That chance is big.
You know, so, hey, you're a kid, you get to see, like, hey, man, like, I did it. And mind you, right, we haven't even mentioned this part yet, but the pizza goes to your house. You know, so you're breaking bread with your parents.
Great delivery, yep.
Dinner's Friday night, dinner's on us.
Grandma's getting a slice.
Grandma's siblings, you know what I'm saying? And if you reach out and say,
everybody eats.
Everybody eats. And if you reach out and say, hey, I got three siblings, we're just going to send more pizza. That's not a problem.
Everybody did good in school. What kind of pizza you want?
Come on, man. That's my favorite part, too, is calling the parents. Because usually you don't really get positive phone call homes. You know, it's usually you see Mr. Oof. Talking Junk is calling. Oof. I wonder what happened today. You know, you don't know, you know, but not like 8 times out of 10, you think it's something bad and you're holding your breath. But imagine, congratulations, you know, on your child being nominated to Sites of Excellence.
And it's going to make them want to do more and want to do better.
It's going to make them want to do more. What's a great time to send a pizza? Oh, you're going to send it to the house? Of course. And they get emotional. Some of them get obsessive and start crying. Can you ask Daniel, you know, what toppings he would like? Oh, he loves pineapple, he loves pepperoni. Yeah, can you let me know a good time to send a pizza tomorrow? Oh, yeah, we'll be home after 6. Cool. Hey,
perfect.
You know, is it okay if you send me the best quality pizza you can for social media? Of course we can, and thank you so much for doing something so great. And there it is, bro. It's the greatest conversation you could ever have, and I get to have that conversation every week.
And what better place to be given pizza than fucking New York?
Fucking New York, man.
Now, so I know you are a very, very busy man from what we can hear from this episode, which you guys should catch in the archives every day, wherever podcasts are shown or streamed, because not everybody has a video podcast link. But I digress. Thank you very much, sir, for taking some much non-wasteful time to come on this show and be able to enlighten my viewers, because the Slice of Excellence is a great way to get into the kids' minds and hearts. Very easy and simple way. Sunshine, don't be saying goodnight when I'm trying to give. Okay? You gotta hold on a second. Don't go nowhere yet. We're almost finished, but not quite finished. All right. Well, like I was saying, Slice of Excellence is a great concept and a great foundation. So why don't you tell us where we might be able to kick in on Slice of Excellence?
Absolutely. So our Zelle, if you have Zelle, is sliceofexcellence458@gmail.com. Or the easiest way to donate is through our website at sliceofexcellence.org. You can see a video where I introduce myself to a school that we partner with, where I met with the teachers, we have pizza, and, you know, I introduced the incentives to that school. We follow us on Instagram at Slice of Excellence. You know, we do great work. I did promise to talk about our financial literacy series, though.
Yes, sir.
And really briefly, it's called Talking Dope. You know, so Talking Dope is our financial literacy series. What's pizza made out of? Talking Dope is up. You know? So what's pizza made out of?
Dough.
What do you call money?
Dough.
Let's go, baby. Talking Dope. There it is.
You know what I'm saying? Call that little button here in the right corner. Yes, donate.
That's the donate button. You know what I'm saying? So every amount helps. You know, it's about
be sure to go to Slice of Excellence and donate as much as you can. Every dollar counts.
Absolutely. So it's about $22 a kid. But that includes two pies, tax, delivery, and tip. So it's completely free, you know. Tip is included. We do tip. We tip 15% as well. So we look out for those drivers that are bringing this delicious pizza to our students and our scholars. That's a YouTube video. That's actually an episode of Conversation with Zoe.
Okay.
Titled Slice of Excellence that you guys can watch and check in and at the New Design Middle School.
When can we catch your podcast on YouTube?
It drops almost every week, every other week. At this point, like you guys, it's, you know, 86 episodes. You guys can go watch everything from your journey.
I cannot stress more how much archives are important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I got an episode of Khalif Browder. If you don't know who Khalif Browder, you know, you can watch his documentary on Netflix, Khalif. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, he was mistakenly accused of stealing a backpack. He was in Rikers Island for 3 years at the age of 16. Yeah. Spent over 1,000 days in solitary confinement, which is illegal as fuck. So you can only see how, as a Bronx kid, he being a Bronx kid, that story meant that much to me. At 16, I went to boarding school. At 16, he went to Rikers. So,
damn.
But we're from the same borough. You know, 10 minutes away from each other. So it's almost like his life could be mine and my life could have been his kind of thing, you know?
And in New York, the person next door could be that person.
The person next door could be that person. And before I head out, you know, Talking Dough means a lot to me because I've been on this financial literacy journey for a couple of years now. I'm doing pretty well in the stock market. I'm doing pretty well in savings. Got a lot of tips and tricks if you want to reach out. I'm also a life coach. So you guys can reach out with Coach Zoe. You know,
many hats he wears.
Many hats, absolutely. But we do self-development and we do financial development. And we kind of tap into all those things and try to create a different mindset. You know what I'm saying? So I'm willing to put in as much as you want to put in. And I match energy. I'm great at matching energy. So if you're not that invested, then don't expect me to be that invested. You know what I'm saying? I'll do exactly what you pay me for, and that's it. But if you're in it, then I'm in it. And the price doesn't change. The price is pretty cheap. But just know that I'm willing to give everything you're willing to give back to me, and I'll give it back right back to you.
Yes, so well, you can put value on yourself.
Absolutely. So for those out there, go read Richard Poor Dad and get an understanding of financial literacy. You can save $10 a week, you know, put $10 a week in Apple. You know, stocks are easy. It's really a buy low, sell high kind of compensation, kind of industry. So think about the Jordan Concords, right? The white and black 11s, you know, you buy them for $200, right? Buy five pairs, that's $1,000. You sell each pair for $400, that's a $200 profit. You spent $1,000, you made $1,000 profit, now you got $2,000. That's stocks.
Just don't get them from Flight Club because we're going to check.
Yeah, that's a fact. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where that was stocks broken down. So it really is understanding things in a way that you understand. Also, another rule of thumb is just invest in what you consume. You know, a lot of us like to go to Walmart. That's a publicly traded company. If you look up Chipotle stock right now, you'd be like, no way Chipotle is worth $1,500. You'd be like, what?
Yeah, and there's a lot of stocks that you think are out of reach, but now they have these little things that you can buy that give you percentages of different stocks all in one. So
that's a fact. So you got different ETFs, you got different municipal bonds, and you can also go to $10 a week route. So that's how I started. And you know, now I own 15 shares of Apple, you know, a couple of years later. I own 3 shares of Tesla, you know what I'm saying? And I'm $25,000 in stocks right now, you know, and that's including a Fidelity account, which they invest for you. You can look into Fundrise, which they invest in real estate for you. So your $10 a week, $40 a month, and $480 a year, right? So Think of that little bit adding up and compiling, and you getting some interest on it. Know that a bank is never going to give you 10% of your money back, ever. Right? So play both sides. Save some money in the bank, but also put some money in the market. That's talking
about. Don't forget, NFTs are where it's going.
NFTs is where it's going. Educated
in NFTs, which we are trying to study for now. So be on the lookout, because in the near future, however long it takes me to learn this, you will be getting Talking Junk NFTs. Which reminds me, in about a week's time, the website will be up. That'll be talkingjunknetwork.com, where you can get all the podcasts of Talking Junk and The Break Room all in one place, all the links, better than Linktree. So be sure to watch out for that. And we are on tomorrow night in The Break Room. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. We're talking about the history of New Year's resolutions, the myth, the lures, and the bullshit. So be sure to tune into that tomorrow night at 10:30. Again, Zoe, thank you very much for giving us a slice of your life. We definitely enjoyed going down that road with you. Why don't you lead us out the way you lead conversations of Zoe out?
Yeah, man. So, you know, peace and blessings to everybody. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, check us out. Donate to Slice of Excellence. Remember, you know, happy life, happy wife, all that fly shit, and take care of yourself.
Happy spouse, happy house, man.
You know what I'm saying? So for those out there with the New Year's resolution and all of that, you know, I'm getting back in shape, you know what I'm saying, doing, feeling good. Focus on showing up. You know, a lot of us are focused on what we're going to do when we get there, but aren't showing up. So I've been back in the gym 3 months now, feeling great, dropped 20 pounds, but all I did was like, you know what? I'm just going to show up. Whatever happens after that, happens after that. So get there. Show up. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, sure, definitely. Start living in the moment. Stop living in the future.
Absolutely. So have a great time in the break room tomorrow night at 10:30. And remember to donate to Slice of Excellence. Love.
Definitely. Sliceofexcellence.org. Go get it now. And help these kids, man. Reward them. That's all you can do. And we're going to reward you every single week with a Talking Junk podcast live every Friday night from Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, and Periscope. I've been me, and you've been you. Zoe, thank you very much, bro.
Peace.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, brother.
Hey, no worries. Helping is what I do.